Errol Ballantyne, driving you home with the music you love today on Radio Today.
And that brings us to 3:15 on this Friday afternoon. Some rain around. Beautiful rain last night. Gosh, I don't know where whether it rained at your house, but it was just brilliant. It rained and thundered. It was just like the old summer days back again. So now for the next 10 minutes or so, we'll be chatting to our special guest in studio, and that's Margie Brocklehurst from the very well-known Free Me organization. Hello, Margie.
Hello.
And thank you for your time this afternoon.
Pleasure.
Now, there are some issues with Free Me Wildlife Centre. It's closing after 18 years. And I was saying off air, I don't think there's anybody that I speak to who has not heard of Free Me.
And I think that's the sadness that's affecting so many of us that have always been part of Free Me. I was part of Free Me from 1997. I was one of the founder volunteers. And I was there till 2009. I've since had another job with another charity. I was the CEO at the Jane Goodall Institute for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been approached in this past year by many volunteers who were unhappy with how things were going at Free Me. Mm. Free Me is a community wildlife centre. You know, we were built on the community. Mm. Our volunteers come from the local community, and we serve not only the local community anymore, we serve Gauteng, but even beyond that. You know, we have wildlife coming in distressed states from anywhere.
And this is any kind of wildlife.
It doesn't
birds,
matter.
Because I associate it mainly with birds, but maybe
I think the large percentage of the animals that come into Free Me are birds.
Yes.
And especially we're in an urban area. That's why it was started in the first place, because there was nowhere for anyone to take urban wildlife that was orphaned. Mm. So it started mainly with birds, and it's grown hugely over the 17 years, nearly 18 that we've been going. So in the time that I've not been at Free Me, you know, our species list has grown hugely, you know, and we get cases in from all over South Africa. It doesn't matter where you are. If you need help with any wildlife, you've always been able to call Free Me, and if they're not, they're able to link you with someone who can help.
Now, that for something like that to operate, besides having complete dedication to the task, you need funding and you need volunteers.
Yeah.
Now, you've had both, but where are we now with this? Is it still operating or is it closed now?
The doors are closed at the moment, which, as I say, is a great sadness to us all. And I'm campaigning at the moment under Friends of Free Me, with our volunteers and our supporters, to ask the present board to actually stand down and allow Free Me to go back to the way that we've always run it, that which is with volunteers.
So without going into all the gory details, it's an issue with the management of Free Me, and you've now had to go the legal route. You haven't been able to sit down and negotiate and discuss.
No, we have tried.
Yeah.
We decided when we were going to make the effort to try and regain the control of Free Me that we do it the legal way. We have an amazing attorney, Mr. Alan Warriner, who's worked for us as a pro bono attorney for the last 3 months. He's done great work for us.
That's worth a huge amount of money.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we followed his instructions to the letter. We've actually gone the right way. And it's come to the point now, the last 2 weeks, that we are not getting any response. We need to sit down, we need to negotiate, and we're not getting any answers, neither from them nor through their attorneys, who also, I believe, not getting much communication. So we decided to go to the press. It can be great, as you know, or it cannot be. But we believe that the support for Free Me from the community out there, as you say, there's not many people that you can talk to who haven't heard of Free Me or have needed Free Me in the past. And as I say, we have an amazing amount of support out there. Our volunteer force, which have been completely alienated from Free Me, is actually not allowed to be working there right now.
I see there are about 90 volunteers.
We have about 90. Up until about September, we had approximately 90 active volunteers. And over the last few months, when it's been really not very nice to be there, they've actually fallen away. But I have pledges from everybody that I know that as soon as we can get back into Free Me again, we'll try and get back up and running as soon as possible.
What's happened to the animals in the meantime?
When the doors were closed 3 weeks ago, the animals that were there were allowed to stay there. They have a young clinic manager who's not very experienced in the wildlife rehab side. But there are not, you know, the cases are being released as they go through the rehabilitation process. But new cases are being referred to our local vets, and there are two other smaller wildlife rehab facilities that people have been able to use. They are overwhelmed at the moment because on a day in the life of Freemi in summer, as it is now, you can take anything between 50 to 90 cases a day, most being birds, as you say. And over the last couple of years, our caseload has reached around about 10,000 a year.
Gosh. Now, is the SPCA or other organizations similar getting involved as well in terms of taking over an overflow?
SPCA don't take in wildlife as such, but they have been involved in getting Freemi to this point where they felt that they should actually close the doors because they weren't happy with the situation there. And the same with GDARD, the Nature Conservation Department, who issues the permit. So at the moment, there's no permit, and they're working right now under supervision, basically, by GDARD and NSPCA.
Now, I mean, for those amount of animals, and I mean, you need funding, you need lots of food. Where do you get your funding from? Where has it traditionally come from?
Traditionally, it's always been the general public.
Wow.
Certainly, I always used to say that our running costs used to come in on a daily basis from people who bought animals in who would give you a donation.
Yes.
And that really has been the way that Freemi's worked in all these years. And I think that's how it will work again. But at the moment, funds are not readily available.
I'm sure.
I think we've got a major issue when we start again is to regenerate all that, to talk to the general public, to get out there and do all the fundraising,
your marketing all over again,
public awareness. You know, over the years we've done an immense amount of community outreach. You know, I've given hundreds of talks, as has the educational team that's been there since I wasn't there. You know, to old age homes and schools, to communities where, just for an example, for owls, you know, there's a lot of problems with cultural differences with some birds, and owls are one of them.
Yes, they are. And in fact, they try to introduce owls into the townships to clean up the rats, and the owls, in fact, suffered in many cases as well.
I think, you know, owls, on the other hand, owls have been quite successful being put into schools in township areas where the children get educated about the owls. The children then feed the owls, and then actually the knowledge and the joy of actually seeing those babies grow goes back to the families.
Do you know, just to digress, I live in a complex in Rivonia where there is a family of owls, and they've lived there gosh, 12, 13 years. And they had some babies recently, and these little things, that, you know, you every night you can hear this going, you know, around the, and you see these little babies who have kind of come up the nest, the first flight, and they're sitting on your grass, you know, in your little complex. It's just stunning to see them and how they behave, and they're so tame and they're just lovely. But there is a reaction by some people to them.
Yeah.
Those are devils, and you can't, you know.
You've got to be really careful.
You've got to be careful.
Little owls like that, a lot of people don't realize with spotted eagle owls and barn owls.
These are spotted eagle owls. Yeah.
When they come out of the nest and they come to the ground, they may not be able to fly very well. And the first things that they learn to eat are insects and things on the floor. They sprottle around and they play, and the parents bring them food in as well.
Yes.
So, you know, their first food is actually not rats and mice. They are given that by the parents, but their hunting instinct is honed by them chasing around crickets and things.
I love them. I think they're stunning. All right. So now, what you're planning ultimately to do, your goal is to get a resolution passed by the members to change voting rights. You want to change the structure of the board, and you want to get things done differently.
We do.
Okay, now what support do you need from listeners, from members of the public? What can they do to help?
At the moment, it's just their verbal support, really, and as they with our petition. Mm. We're going to need a lot of support in the next few weeks. I'm hoping that we will get to a resolution in the next couple of weeks. I'd hoped it would be done by now. Right. But in the future, we're going to be asking you and everybody else to listen to what we say, and we're going to have to do fundraising on a major scale.
We'll obviously give whatever support we can. The wheels grind very slowly,
very slowly, don't they?
Now we're coming up for Christmas, people will be heading for the beach, but on the other side of the coin, you've got more and more animals who are probably likely to need your services now as we come to Christmas.
I think what's happening at the moment, and it's unfortunate, is that as I say, the centres that are rehab centres that can take in animals right now are becoming overwhelmed.
Yes.
On both of the centres that are helping out right now are asking for our help with our volunteers.
Right.
And they're helping those centres while they're not allowed to work at Freemi. So we are supporting the other centres in that way. And that way, you know, the general public really have to be on the ball. And as I say, we'll get the word out when we need them. Mm. We really will.
Margie, where can listeners get hold of you if they want to make contact with you and try and help somehow?
They can email me. It's Tremor, TREMOR. Mm-hmm. At icon.co.za, mm-hmm. or they can always get me on my cell phone, which is 082-561-3681.
Let me give out those details again. It's Tremor, TREMOR, at icon.co.za, or you can get hold of Margie on her cell on 082-561-3681. Margie Brocklehurst. Thank you for your time. And on behalf of the radio station, we wish you a whole lot of success. I think it's an amazing job that you guys do. And it's just so sad to see this grind to, have this current pause because of some issues. But I'm sure you'll get back there and get
I'm very positive about it. Yeah. We have, as I said, immense support from the public, and we're just going for it.
Yeah.
You know, we believe Freemi is a community centre run by volunteers.
Yes.
And that's what we want it back as. Yeah. You know, that's what our volunteers want. And
All right, that's Margie Brocklehurst from the Freemi organisation, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sarah.
All the best for Christmas.
Thank you.
Playing the music you love today. This is Radio Today.